Uncle Doge first. Actually, he ran into me. He was making no more sound than I as he scouted the camp. Pretty good for an old boy, who ought still to be laid up with his wounds. I decided to find out what he was up to. It was a good excuse not to fly into the teeth of the demon right now. Maybe she would be more attractive if she would get rid of the necklaces of severed penises and baby skulls. Uncle drifted along the edge of the camp, close enough to see anything that happened, far enough away to avoid notice by sentries unless he made a racket falling into a hole. In minutes it was evident that he just wanted to see what was happening, that the camp wasn't his real interest. He continued on into the night, still creeping northward. I followed. He dug something out of his pouch. It gave off a tiny light, less than that of a firefly. He consulted it frequently. I tried to get close enough to see what it was, but he kept his back toward me however I maneuvered. He seemed to sense a watcher without being conscious of the fact. Darkness closed in as the camp fell behind, but we were not alone out there. Time and again I felt Kina's presence, though never very close. For a goddess, she didn't seem especially omniscient, or maybe she wasn't looking for me. If she was in the mountains, she couldn't block my way back to my body, but I wasn't scared now, and Uncle had begun moving faster, determined to get somewhere quickly. What would make him come out here in his condition? It became evident soon enough. He wanted to take advantage of the fact that Soulcatcher was preoccupied. He found what Croker's searchers hadn't, probably because of what he carried in his hand. The hiding place wasn't obvious because a veil of illusion surrounded it. The first hint was the snort of a large animal. A moment later I recognized my horse, and he recognized me, although I was invisible and he hadn't seen me for almost a year. The beast had more talent than Uncle Doge did. Doge thought the animal was excited to see him. Uncle was more attuned to the waking world than I was, though. Ashwand leapt into his hand as he reacted to something else before I sensed anything. I caught nothing but a flicker of darkness in the dark. I thought shadow, but felt none of the coldness that indicated their proximity. We were not the only ones out there. I flitted around, trying to find the lurker. I found Sleepy instead, and the Daughter of Night. They were chained to a tree, each by an ankle, with 10 feet of slack. They had no fire. They did have a keg of water that was nearly empty, and a stash of hard bread that was down to the crumbs. Catcher had planned to be back sooner. Sleepy was awake but seemed drugged. The child was too small to break away. There was evidence Sleepy had not been able to pull himself together well enough to try. I heard a choking sound behind me. Metal rattled on stone. A large object crashed through brush. I found Doge on his knees, Ashwand 2 feet from his fingers. His left hand was at his throat, clawing at a piece of black cloth. He was lucky. Few men ever survived such attacks. All it took was a lifetime of training to hone the reflexes. There was a strangler in the darkness, and I could do nothing to help. Doge's left hand dropped to the ground. With his right, he reached for Ashwand. His wounds forced him to stay put, but once he had his sword back, nobody would end his tale prematurely.